from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast where I'm glad you're here. You're welcome to be here. I'm here to embrace you with open arms, to call you in, every friend of mine from around the world. Sleepless or stressed out, whatever it is, I'm really, really glad you're here. I'm so happy because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. And tonight's episode is made possible with the help of Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who edited this episode and did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. Jonathan Mann on the lullabies. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter. And the listeners have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank the moderators over there. Julian, Jennifer, Lauren, Lyda, and Summer, and Sarah. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Alright, hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. I'm going to try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, you know, physical sensations, travel, noises, like whatever's going on that's keeping you awake. You know, whether it's something you can, you know, point your finger at and say, well, if it wasn't for that, you know, giant dachshund or whatever slobbering on my face, I may be able to get to sleep, or, you know, the spreadsheet or whatever. Like, I'd like to take your mind off of whatever it is, or at least attempt to. And that's kind of my part of my safe place, is that I guess it's an intention. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to be wearing meanderwear, which, by the way, don't buy your meanderwear except directly for me whenever I get around to making it and marketing it other than here. Also, I thought about this. I probably shouldn't make meanderwear for the pot, you know, because then everybody would have a sleep pot. They'd say, wow, suddenly I have the powers of meander that only Scooter has. I mean, I guess that would be nice. I'd have to sign, I guess every pair of meanderwear will come with an NDA and an exclusivity agreement, non-compete clause. You know, I want them to have both copper and magnets. I saw that. I was watching TV, either, you know, marathons while I've been editing the shows. And I saw the one for one of the things you strap onto your elbows or your knees or whatever that has copper in it. And I don't normally delve into celebrity discussions on here. That's why you listen to Who Weekly. You know, that's the show with Lindsay and Bobby. But, like, this is a different, like, I noticed, I won't even say their name, but a famous football player was throwing, like, loading bales of hay. And he looked very fit. I mean, very fit. But I said, I mean, and I guess this is just my worldview. I said, is he really loading bales of hay, like, in his spare time? Like, I mean, I would be sipping lemonade and doing, I mean, I guess that's why I'm not a, I mean, one of the many reasons I'm not an NFL quarterback starting. I mean, there's a lot of other ones, too. I don't want to get into it, but. When I do come out with meanderwear, I guess I do picture it that doesn't make sense, because that wouldn't be meanderwear. That's like an elbow thing. So maybe this, I got to go back to the drawing board with the meanderwear. But there will be meanders in this podcast. You know, I just meandered into, that was a product placement meander. You know, fake, you know, faux inventions. We got a lot of faux stuff here. The FAUX gets used a lot on this show. Improperly, but that's also, you know, that's just a check to see if you're kind of listening. But the whole thing with meandering, or I guess back to the drawing board. I mean, that's kind of how. Let's see if I could. Let me set the stage, and then I'll try to get back to the drawing board. Let me go back to the drawing board. Like, so, if you're new here, here's how the basics. What is this called? Structure of the podcast. First 5 minutes, we get all the business out of the way. Ideally, And then, let's see, for that's the first, but then there's usually a 12-minute intro, which we're about halfway through, if I check my time, a little bit under halfway through. That's like a show within itself, something familiar, something borrowed, you know, somebody, you know, sometimes I'm feeling blue, not tonight, it's about 6:40 p.m. on a work night. Actually, I am feeling blue because I was supposed to be right now watching Rogue One for the second time. And this isn't a criticism, but it was just, I guess I didn't feel like, well, this is, okay, so let me come back, let's see if I can come back to both those things. But so then there'll be an episode after this. So the intro is kind of an episode, like a decent amount of people fall asleep to the intro, or it eases them into the podcast, and then there'll be a story or story-like thing after this for 45, 50 minutes. And if you're new here, here's the key takeaway. So you don't got to take me seriously. You don't have to listen, but you're also under no pressure to fall asleep fast, or, oh boy, you should fall asleep by this part, because I'm really giving, you know, I'm really like, I'm doubled up on me underwear. I got two pairs on. You know, clean pair on the inside and a pair that needs to be washed on the outside. That's how I do it. You know, I double the usable life of the meanderwear, I think, or I'm just double powered. So if you're new here, so let's see. So I guess I'm not feeling blue because I said, well, geez, now I can record a whole podcast episode tonight. And then maybe I'll watch a little Spalding Gray later. Because I was halfway through that, then I'll watch some Star Trek. So I guess I'm not, but I guess the thing with the movie plans was that we'd planned it out way ahead of time, my brother and I, and I never followed up. I mean, we're talking like we'd planned this, you know, because, you know, Rogue One, to some of us, Star Wars is a pretty big deal. I think a lot of listeners, it's true. And for both of us, this was going to be our second or third viewing, and it was going to be free because he's in a visual effects society. But then there was miscommunication, and I guess I needed to set an alarm. But these are the kind of things right now, you know, I'm back in the climbing closet where I record the podcast, so it's not a big deal. You know, but later on when you crawl into bed, like you could be like, man, why didn't, you know, everything gets quiet. You've done your, like, sometimes like there's all these sleep things you could try. I mean, I do have like certain things I do, but before bed, but I was trying to think of something funny to say, but it's just extremely boring. There's nothing, but it's so. Like, but then you get in bed and it's like, well, why didn't you email it? And you say, well, I don't want to rehash today's events. I'd like to go to bed. And sometimes, at least for me, sometimes it's my mind, sometimes it's my body. Lately, it's just my body is refused to go to sleep like a petulant child. And it, as the hours tick by or whatever, it becomes really hard to say, well, let's just go back to the drawing board here. Like, really, things get weird at night or during the day if you're a shift worker. And even the physical makeup of my body and my bed seems to change. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. And time, I mean, this is space-time continuum level stuff. And I know you're with me. I know I can hear you. And you say, what the heck? I just want to, usually if my pillows are like this, and then I switch these pillows to be cooler, and then I can, you know, it's like a pillow buffet. And it's just not working. And so there isn't an ability for me a lot of times to hit reset and say, go back to the drawing board. Let's go, we'll rearrange our pillows, and that'll be it. We'll go right to sleep. The intensity seems to climb, I guess is what I'm saying. And I mean, sometimes the best thing is to just get out of bed. I don't know what my point was. I mean, my point is that ideally this podcast kind of intervenes and gives you something to kind of pay your attention. You don't have to pay me any attention. Don't pay me any mind either, as grandmothers everywhere say. Also, don't pay me any bother. pay me no, what is that, something, something, to pay me no somethings, you know, all those things. A hey penny will do. But if you haven't got a hey penny, well, God bless you. I think that's like a couple months late. What was my point? I mean, my point is, like, I've got two pairs of me underwear on to try to help you fall asleep. I'm here. I mean, I guess I did contemplate buying a ticket to Rogue One. But I said, I'll see it again. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. But listen, I guess my thing is, if you heard anything I'm saying, if you're asleep, terrific. If you're listening, or you're lying there drifting, you know, I've been there. Clearly, I've got I make this sleep podcast. I mean, I read so many things about sleep, and I can still be there sometimes in the deep dark night. And so the whole idea of this show is to take your mind off of it, or if not, you know, give you a little company, to give you a little bore giggles, or, you know, not a huckle. I don't even know what a huckle is. And I guess it's the plant that holds the berry, the huckleberry. Uncle Huckle, that's a nice, that is a word I don't know if I've ever used in the, huckle. I don't know. I guess anyway. So if this podcast is meant to just kind of distract you, but not to put any pressure on you, I'm here to be your boyfriend, which just means I'll be here talking for the next 50 minutes. I'll be here present. I'll be giving it my all. I think I have a loose plan tonight to read, like, to put a map to use that I was given as a holiday present. So, like, and if you're skeptical, if you're new here, I totally understand it. This podcast is different, and it is abnormal. And but I guess I'd say that with open arms and say, you know, Jesus, like, I'm here to help. So if you're new and you don't like it, you know, give it a few tries, or say, Jesus, I'm sorry I used up your time thus far, but I'm really glad you're here. And in some sense, you should be saluted, because it takes a lot of skepticism to overcome to just listen to this podcast. But I can tell you want some help falling asleep, so I hope I can provide it. You know, that's really what I yearn and strive for. And I'm glad you stopped by. I really want to help you fall asleep.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately.
No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's Trending Tuesday, and it's actually Tuesday. Holy moly. I didn't even think of that. Like, normally Tuesdays, I don't record podcast episodes because I have family commitments. But it's Tuesday night, and it's somewhere between late 6 or early 7 p.m., half 7, half quarter 6, whatever you all say. And this holiday season, a couple months back, I had gotten a co-gift, a shared gift with my brother Ken, which is interesting because I was talking about him in the intro. I apologize. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus, Ken. My whole thing was like, why didn't I check in with him sooner about the movie? I'm not upset at all about, this is not a passive aggressive exercise or anything. Because I couldn't have got a better person. You know, look at this, right into buttering it up. And speaking of butter, speaking of buttering and buttering people up, so Ken was a great person to get a shared holiday gift with for my parents. And they sent us something called a Syracuse crate, C-R-A-T-E. And the company happens to be run by somebody I went to high school and college with, Tom. And I don't know if I'll reach out to him in between, but Syracuse crate, I think it's at syracusecrate.com, but I'll try to put it in the show notes. Tom's a great guy. So what's up, Tom? But, my parents had got this Syracuse crate for my brother and I to share for Christmas. What is a Syracuse crate? I can hear you asking already. And ideally, we'll do a real-time recipe episode around the Syracuse crate, down the road here. But a Syracuse crate is like a gift. It's like a gift crate with regional foods from if you grew up in Syracuse or you lived in Syracuse. That you would, you say, geez, you really can't get it anywhere else. You know, a little central New York regional pride. And in our Syracuse crate, which I've consumed almost everything, I'm saving one thing for my daughter, came some Hoffman hot dogs, which I've talked about on the show before. And then some Hoffman snappies, which are like Coney Island dogs, which I don't know what they are, and I probably have this discussion every 2 years. But anyway, it's not important. And then Gianelli hot Italian sausage and Hinderwaddle's salt potatoes. And so Syracuse has really good Italian sausage, and when you live in Syracuse, at least in my family, the summertime, you eat a lot of Hoffman hot dogs and you eat a lot of Italian sausage from Gianelli's or Stagerwald's. I just want to put that out there. Stagerwald's has got some great meat too. There's also a can of Mama's baked beans and then a bottle of dinosaur barbecue sauce, turkey joints, which can... still not even sure what those are. My mom loves those, though. And there's also a map in there. And I guess I'll just tell you what salt potatoes are because I don't want, but briefly, salt potato is like a small potato I don't know what kind, like a one of those little round ones. I think out here you call them Yukon Golds, but I think this is a different potato type. But a small potato, and what you do is you boil the potatoes in like heavily, heavily salted water. Syracuse is the salt city. You know, playing real gritty in the old Salt City, I think they used to sing. And of course, I don't know the actual history of the salt potato. I think maybe I did an episode about it, but like you just boil the water in this really, really salted water. So the potatoes come out and they're cooked, but they're like, they're incredibly salty. And then you usually eat them with drawn butter and with your Italian sausage and your hot dogs and beans. So. And, oh, also it came with Hoffman's, like a German-style mustard, I think. And, I thank my parents for that. But it also came with this map, like an old vintage-style map of Syracuse. And at first I thought my brother was going to keep it. And they said, no, maybe you could do a podcast episode from the map. I said, well, okay, that's a great idea. So I think that's what we'll do. Let me turn on one more light in here and unroll the map. I'll pause it. Okay, I had to engineer a solution here because the map is like incredibly detailed and like the writing and the pictures are really small. And to set the mood, I'm here in my climbing closet where I record the podcast. So it's not the lightest place in the world. And then I always try to be conscientious about paper noises and stuff. This episode, I mean, I guess it's a little late, but it'll probably contain some map noises. But this is a map, like a cartoon. Is that a right version? Not animated, like a hand-drawn, not a caricature of Syracuse, but I don't know what year. I looked at it for trademarks and stuff. I couldn't see anything. But it's a big map of Syracuse, and I guess what I'll do is just kind of go through it here, and maybe it'll spur some stories or whatever. I'm going to start in the upper left corner, Beaver Lake Nature Center, so maybe we'll come back to that. That's been played. Oh, yeah, I got a good beaver. Oh, boy. There's 34 golf courses in Onondaga County. Yeah, the brewery industry helped make Syracuse famous, Baldwinsville. That's where near Beaver Lake. Baldwinsville's known as the pheasant dog capital of the world. I did not know that. We are proud of our state championship wrestlers. There's the First Trust and something company, some bank. Brown Newspapers, I haven't heard of that. Something Park, Mercer Park maybe. People look like they're dancing there. It looks like there's a dam there. I don't know. Then the Baldwinsville Tri-County Mall. I don't remember that. Some sort of mid-lakes navigation. I don't know what lake. I guess this is Onondaga Lake. Yeah, Onondaga Lake. There's a Holiday Inn, Sparky's Holiday Inn. There's a sign for the WSEN. WSEN must have paid for this map because I see them on here a bunch. I don't know what station that was either. So for you see, did you grow up in Syracuse, Scoots? I did, but, you know, I lived in a world of my own, you know, fantasy and design. Onondaga Park goes around the lake. You see Hiawatha Point, Perry's Office of Eyes, Hyde's Hot Dogs. That was a big part of my youth. That's in Baldwinsville, North Syracuse. The New York State Fair, Fairgrounds. The Keno Carnival, ranked second to only New Orleans Mardi Gras. That's in Jordan. The New Carnival. I don't know that one. Again, I didn't claim to be a Syracuse historian. There's a Pepsi truck at the fair, so there's a little product placement. There's a guy who looks like Evel Knievel on a BMX bike, Fairmount Fair. That's also, I could use this for about 10 podcasts now that I'm looking. Fairmount Fair, we've done a few episodes from there, mall walking. First mall walking episode took place there. Then we have Coleman's Restaurant, where I was a busboy and a janitor for a short period of time. I think I did wash the dishes too, but mostly janitor and busboy. Let's see. We see Carpenter's Brook, Weber's West Side Inn, Elbridge, the Chicago Market. Can't read a lot of the writing here, even Fowler High School. So that's right where, that's near where I grew up. And off of, that's off of Geddes. Burnett Park Zoo, I'm assuming. I see a bunch of animals. West Jenny High School. So this map is definitely not, because I think West Jenny's closer to Fairmount Fair. Let's see what else we got. The Amtrak Station, the Railroad Station, Museum and Library. West Jenny High said that. The Disappearing Lake, I don't know about that either. Oldest barn in the country, I see on here. For another First and Trust, the Krebs, I think this, oh, this is Skinny Atlas Lake, the Cedar House Restaurant and Gift Shop, Midlakes Navigation. Oh, so I think companies could pay to be on this map because there's even phone numbers for some of these. There's the Native American Reservation in Nedro. The lake is approaching 15 miles long and 300 feet deep. That's Skinny Atlas Lake, I believe. Central Tech and Vocation Center. And then downtown, that's in downtown. Then we have Syracuse Cable Vision or something. Cable Systems. Hotel Syracuse. Paper Poppy. Sibley's. That's where we would go see Santa Claus. And they had a sky bridge between Sibley's and another place. Perry's Office Supply. Jean's Discount Craft Supplies. I wonder if the comic book shop's on here. There's the Money Towers. Those are the two big buildings in Syracuse, but they have a Carrier label on them. Syracuse War Memorial. The Symphony and the Opera. The Civic Center. Another First Trust and Deposit Company. Building where my dad worked. Syracuse Savings Bank was, I think, in the basement of the building. Will Bombers and Candles. This is the candle capital of America, they say. And Will Bombers, and I do know people that were in the candle business. So one of my friends. You got something historic landmark restaurant, Sheridan Inn, Carpet Alley, 2002 Space Odyssey, that's at the Disco. Oh, here's a place. Let me see if I can read this. Something Red Barn, that rings a bell, like Herkimer Red Barn or Harper Red Barn or something, Flamingo Bowl. It has 40 lanes open at 1 in the morning. Franklin Engine Company. You know where I'm keeping track of the stuff that has good stories. Crystal. I don't see Industrial Color Labs on here. Frankie's Steakhouse. And Pen Can Mall. That was another mall that existed. Syracuse Boys Club. In Syracuse, China, they are a world leader in commercial chinaware, I think for plates for restaurants. I think they used to say that they had that at the White House. Learberry Clothes, I remember that building. The Factory Outlet Store, I think they had. MacArthur Stadium, that's where the Syracuse's AAA baseball team used to play. DR Typewriters, Curry Copy Center, Hanover Square, another First Trust Bank, Onondaga County Public Library, they've been to those, the Cathedral, the Boys Club, I don't see the Landmark Theater, but that's probably on here somewhere. another Chicago market, another WESCN. The heart of Syracuse country. So maybe that's Syracuse's country station. Maybe that's why it doesn't ring a bell. Chicago market, another Chicago market. Song Mountain, that was a place with the Alpine Slide. Immense to make with that, with my cousin. They, like, ran into her thing, you know. And let's see. So it's just a lot of people waving and walking. Oh, wait, here we go. I see some information about this. Produced and published by something, Scarborough, Ontario, Canada, 1979, printed in the USA. Illustrated by Francesca Profili. Looks like it's produced and published by Archara Inc. or something. Let's see. WSEN and University Hospital. I think that's me. No, I don't know if I was born in the University Hospital or Krauss Irving. I think I was born in Krauss Irving. Syracuse University, where our buddy Hal went. And there's the Dome. Hall of Languages. Clark County, Clark Reservation, Conservation Area. I don't think I've been there. If I have, I don't remember. Down to the Holiday Inn. Downtown, another Pepsi truck. Lorenzo with a swan. I don't know what that is. Highland Forest, that was the first time I went camping. I went there. Penn Cam Mall, I mentioned that. Syracuse Airport, Hancock Airport. What else we got here? Shub Meals. I don't know what that is. Central City Business Institute, WTVH5. The first TV station in Central New York. The Art Cellar. Janitor Service Inc. The Pat Bombard Buick and Opel. Linder Publications, Syracuse Magazine, Syracuse Stage. I think my brother performed there. Then you have DeWitt and Casanova, the Reservoir, Syracuse University Bookstore, Mulligan's and First Trust United and WTVH5. WTVH5, though, that's been in a podcast. That was the first time I appeared in front of an audience. You know, I told the sheep belt joke to the guy, the weatherman or something. Fayetteville, Have a Terrific Day, Maps Unlimited, Old Limestone. I don't know what that is either. It says here, Grover Cleveland, the 22nd and 24th president of the United States, grew up in Syracuse. I didn't know that either. If I did, I forgot it. Yeah, some other lakes. Round Lake. I don't know if those are the Green Lakes. Chittenango Falls. We used to go there. That's where Chittenango's where the L. Frank Baum's from, I believe. Chrysler Process and Gear. That's also says this is the four-wheel drive capital of the world, which makes sense. A sign for Vernon Downs. The original something have what you something restaurant, where the water flows north, Marriott Inn, Oneida Lake. So we've talked about Oneida Lake on the show. Yes, yeah, about it. So let me take a look at this map and see what we can chat about on here, you know, that we haven't overdone. I mean, we've talked about Hyde's Hot Dogs. We could talk about that because that connects to. So maybe we'll talk about that second, but I got a pretty decent, what's that thing called? Beaver Lake Nature Center story. So we'll do that and then we'll see what we have time for. So a couple different things about Beaver Lake Nature Center. Now, Beaver Lake Nature Center, I guess it's near Baldwinsville. I always imagine it on the way to the airport, but maybe I don't know if it's before or after the Syracuse airport. And it's definitely on my list of things to do. I'd love, maybe I'll be able to record a podcast there at some point in the next year or two and get permission, you know, to do that. But So this is what I remember about it. I honestly haven't been there in probably 30 years, 25 years, maybe. And I don't know if Beaver Lake Nature Center was new or redone when I was in like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. But my memory of Beaver Lake is that it's like it's in a kind of a swampy area, natural swamp, wetlands type area. And it has one of those boardwalks, so you can walk out and go like deep into the swamp or the wetlands and, you know, be out in nature, walking, enjoying the sounds and the trees and the wildlife. And like, so that's one thing I remember about it. I remember going there a few times with my family, and then I guess no wonder I barely remember it, because I can't imagine my poor parents taking six kids. And I don't know if any of us ever jumped off of the boardwalk into the swamp or, you know, pushed one another. But I do remember going there, I think in like, I guess I'm not sure if it was fifth or sixth grade. But this will get right into awkward, like growing up awkward territory. Was my biggest memory of Beaver Lake is that when I was there, I like was like one of the like I guess it was my first girlfriend, and we were only dating for about 2 weeks, and I don't even think we held hands. It was a very formalized thing. And it was like due to one of my friends and not due to anything I did. But I remember I bought my girlfriend a pencil sharpener made of wood at the Beaver Lake Nature Center gift shop. And I had like struggled over it because I wanted her to like it, you know, because I wanted her to like me. And you might say, okay, Scoots, back it up. Like, you had a girlfriend once? And I say, yeah, once for a very short time, I did. And I don't want to say her name, but it was, let's see, how do I do this delicately as well? Like, I mean, I've talked about some grammar school stuff or like elementary school stuff on the show before, or grade K through six, depending on where in the world you're listening to this, or primary school. I think all those apply. And, you know, I've had a lot of things I don't know, like I don't have low self, I guess maybe like this isn't about my self-esteem, but I definitely was not even in grammar school, like what the opposite sex was looking for in a mate, even pre-mate, you know, this is like whatever, a decade before you'd be thinking about mating. So this is only practicing the social rituals. And now thinking about how, I don't know. So, and like I never had trouble making friends, but I had trouble connecting. Like the whole idea, I guess, of confidence and self-awareness, those things, like, I guess I never had trouble. I always had friends. And there was this time at our school where there was two sets of twin girls at our school. And I was in love with one set of twins, particularly one of the two twins, and that was like so far out of my league. Like these twins came to our school new, I think in fifth grade. And, you know, they were stars. Everybody had a crush on them. And as I said, I had a lot of friends. So two of my friends were their boyfriends, you know, I believe I can say their names, Pat and Kyle. And whatever, I don't even know what you do with it then, you just say that that's your boyfriend and your girlfriend. It's just like a formality. I mean, in some sense, establishing the pecking order. And that was just something, you know, that made me gave me butterflies in my stomach. I said, oh, wow, you know, and probably gave me like a visceral, what do you call that? Not visceral, but, you know. Probably was an entirely healthy mechanism of saying, oh, one day if I change, you know, she would like me or whatever. but not a terribly painful memory or anything. Just like, okay, like she was out of my league. I was like the second smallest kid in our class. And I just I was the oldest. Like I didn't have any male figure like my age or within my age range to say, hey, this is, don't pick your nose and eat it. You know, don't do that or whatever I would do. I don't know. I don't think I did that, by the way. I did, but I don't think I did it at that age and got caught. That's what I'm saying. I think I had to, anyway, this is disgusting. But then there was also another new kid that came to our school, another amends I probably have to make. Another person that worked their way into the story, this kid who moved in my neighborhood. And we quickly became good friends, and I think our paper routes overlapped, and I think I ended up not being the best friend in the end, but his name was Bo, B-O, I think. I think he had a real name, but I can't remember, I can't think of, but anyway, his name was Bo, B-O, was his nickname, like, what do you like to be called? And he was incredibly, he was a new kid. I think he was like he was into MacGyver, I remember. And he was also, I think, confident and comfortable in his own skin. And he could connect with these classmates of ours that we were attracted to. And so he never had a hard time with it. And so at some point, I don't know if one of these two other twins had a crush on him. And he was nice enough to do best friend duty. I guess he was my best friend at the time. He arranged it so that if he was going to be this one girl's boyfriend, her sister would be my girlfriend. So an arranged fifth grade relationship. And because these relationships didn't involve doing anything except saying formal titles and calling each other on the phone. Because I don't even think you could go. I don't think we even went on dates at this age. I don't even think till middle school we had. There was I don't know. I don't think people went on dates at this age. Obviously, be super supervised. And maybe you kissed on the lips. I don't know. Because it didn't. None of this happened to me. So this is all based on what I was imagining. But so Bo had arranged it so that I would be this one young lady's boyfriend. And we talked on the phone. And I think part of me knew that this was not because she was this is such a, because it's not based on attraction, but, she didn't have a crush on me. And I kind of didn't have, I was obviously, swept away with these other twins. Though I also knew that even these twins were kind of a little bit step above me as far as the dating pecking order. So I was playing above my whatever. I felt lucky to have a girlfriend that was very attractive or whatever. So. But I don't, all I remember is talking on the phone. And then I remember this gift, but I think this was the second gift we got for them, or I got for her, and it would be the last, spoiler alert, because I remember, and I don't know if Bo was trying to be my big brother and, teach me these things, but Bo and I, since we had paper routes, we had a little bit of extra spending money. And he was one of the people, I guess we were probably in sixth grade because we were old enough to go to the movie theater and Kmart together. And normally what we would do is we'd go to Kmart and then buy candy if we were, plush with money. And then we would go to the movie theater and during the summer, I guess this would be the summer between fifth and sixth grade. And so let's see, where are we? So, but at one point we went to Kmart and we were going to buy the girls earrings, our girlfriends. And I think Bo was in charge of this whole operation. And I think he was trying, I can feel the physical feelings. It felt really exciting and good to be buying a gift for my girlfriend at Kmart. And I guess this was the age, I guess their ears were pierced, the girl's ears. And I guess it was also interesting is the girl, her mother would later be my teacher. And she was a very good teacher, but she also had to throw me out of class a few times. I don't know if that's irony, but wonderful people, wonderful people. So Bo and I were at Kmart. And like, I can, this is one of these memories that is vividly burned into my mind. So interesting. Even the somatic feelings. I remember being there at Kmart. And this was a Kmart we frequented. It frequented me and Bo, but also me and my, you know, it was a Kmart near our house. And even, I think we didn't go to the Kmart restaurant very often, but I can remember eating there like once or twice. So, you know, this was when Kmart's had like a diner right in the middle of them, which now I would probably, that would be the coolest thing ever. Like, I went through this streak of trying to eat at Kmart's, like, probably, I guess it was the late 90s. And I was in, like, I would get a patty melt, and I was like, or grilled cheese with tomato soup. And man, that was a living. Like, and I guess not in a non, it wasn't like I was trying to be ironic. It was just like, it was, it just felt so. And not rebellious is the wrong word, but just, it's like, all right, I'm eating at a diner in the middle of a Kmart. And for the most part, most of the time, it's good food. It was a good diner food. And this Kmart had like a sit down, like, I mean, I can picture the coffee, I can hear the clang of the coffee cups and the plates and stuff. But so Bo and I went on this operation into Kmart to buy our girlfriend's earrings. Now, I think Bo was, he was obviously much wiser than me and knew what he was doing. And I think he was like spurring this whole operation on, but it seemed like in an older brother style way. And unfortunately, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know, Bo and I's friendship ended up deteriorating because, let's see, how do I explain this? I had acquired adult materials later on in our friendship from my neighbor, Billy, who was like an unofficial member of the BB Kids. And then I brought those to the one time I got to go to summer camp. I brought all those adult materials to summer camp and I put them like in my bunk. And then I don't think kids paid me. I think that would be the movie version, but like kids would get to lie in my bunk and look at these pictures. And then Bo had told his mom on me and I could never forgive that, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I was a petty person. And like I said, I have amends to make because I think I egged his house Billy was very upset with me. And Billy has since passed. So Billy, I'm sorry too. Because the more I tell the story, I realize what a great, Bo's house was the one, if you're really into this podcast, like one night, the one time I ate grape nut cereal, I was sleeping over at his house. And that was one of my big life disappointments. I had dreamed of eating grape nut cereal because I just had fantasized that it would be this delicious cereal, like whatever just sounded good, grape nuts, and I could never have it. And then I noticed Bo's family had grape nuts. So then at the sleepover, I snuck downstairs and fixed myself some grape nuts. And not just like a little bit, like a heaping gigantic bowl of grape nuts. And I took one bite and I was like, this is the most disgusting cereal I've ever had. And then after I did that, his mom or his dad came in and they said, what the heck do you think you're doing? And I said, well, I'm eating an entire box of grape nuts, but I decided I'm not, you know. And so anyway, so we went to Kmart. We're on a mission to buy earrings for our girlfriends. And Bo had spoken to his girlfriend because she had wanted these earrings that were also they were telephone earrings. They were pink or turquoise. I can picture them in my mind. I remember Bo was trying to decide. And they were like telephones, like where the receiver, the old fashioned phones you would have at your like grandma, you know, not a cell phone, clearly. And I think they were like, you know, they were too, like, they were fun phones because like maybe the receiver hung up or something. And like, so Bo was like there. And I think he was like, okay, you, I'll buy one color and you buy the other color. Well, and I got it in my mind. I said, oh, no, 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 no. And I started looking at this jewelry and I think fantasizing that this is a common fantasy. I think that like, oh, this is going to be the gift that's going to woo, you know? And also, as you know, listening to this podcast, I watched so much TV as a child and movies, and that really formulated how I viewed the what I thought was the real world. And this was the 80s, so like spangly, you know, sparkly stuff was in. And I remember I saw these earrings and they were dangly, like they look like sparkles and they would do sparkle. I don't know any of the terminology, but they were like three lines. Each one was a little bit shorter. And they were like little squares, like attached to catch the light. And I think they were silver. And to me, these earrings looked like they could have been, you know, they were like $1 million earrings. And I don't know what the prices were. I mean, I know it was cheap, like very, I mean, Kmart, like jewelry and not in a case, you know, not, you didn't have to go to the case or where we were looking. I mean, Bo was buying phone earrings. You know, it's kind of picturing them on her and saying, oh man, this is it, man. This is where, you know, Love City and you know, now I'm done, now I'm a Don, you know. And I don't know, it was just thrilling, I guess, to be by, like, it just felt so, I don't know, no, it didn't feel adult. You know, there was like an illicit thrill and we bought them. We didn't shoplift. I was terrified of, the consequences of shoplifting. I'd never do that, you know, just because I was afraid, you know, like I overthink things. So we bought the, and Bo bought his. And then I remember we, I don't know if we wrapped the gifts or we wrote love notes or what we did. I don't remember any of that, but I do remember that it was like, and this is a very, this is as tropey as it gets. I remember I just gave them to her. And her look, that my girlfriend at the time. So this is probably day three of our dating. And I'm not joking. This is a 2-week, I think this is a 2-week operation. But I remember giving him to her and her just kind of looking at me. And then I was like, are you going to, you know, what are you going to put, you know, and waiting the next day at school. And, you know, the earrings were never seen or heard from again, I don't believe. Maybe it's not true because I can see the earring, the, I mean, I guess Bo was charming. So his girlfriend, she did wear his earrings. And I mean, maybe this is around a dance, but I think the dance, like, that was when I won the dance contest. I think this was the year after, maybe. When did I talk about that dance contest? That was a long time ago. That was another thing that happened to me in grammar school. I won a dance contest. I think that was in Boys Tap. That's a pretty good episode too. So the earrings did not go over, you know, like I thought they would. And I mean, I guess looking back at it, I don't think I asked. I said, "Geez, do you want phone earrings?" Or maybe she even said, "Give me phone earrings like my sister." And I probably asked these questions, you know, I was consumed with, I guess like it's the difference between being empowered and powerless. I was a person that was easily given to powerlessness. So I would just say, oh, are you going to wear those earrings tomorrow? You know, I can't imagine what our phone calls would have been like. I mean, I would definitely give him billions of dollars to just like, now maybe watching would be too depressing. It'd be really interesting, man. They talk about once the anthropologists can time travel, or be like, I wouldn't even need to make the board. I just bring you and show you my life. Here I am sitting, watching Growing Pains and formulating, you know, the, how I'm going to be like, my, and here I am watching Silver Spoons and formulating how I'm going to be one day Ricky Schroeder. You know, here I am watching Who's the Boss and wondering when I'm going to meet her, you know. Here I am, that was Golden Girls. I watched a lot of Golden Girls. No, Perfect Stranger. All these shows, these were 80s TV shows, by the way. All right, here I am. So the earrings did not, they weren't a hit. And I guess I could see the price tag, but I can't see the price. I'm guessing I know they were under $20 because I barely had any money. I'm hoping they were under $5, but please tell me. You know, somebody get Kmart, you know, I don't think they were Blue Light Special, but I mean, I don't know if they were electroplated or what, but so the earrings weren't a big hit. So then I said to myself, well, geez, I got to step it up at this Beaver Lake Nature Center. And I guess maybe I did if this was week two, I was definitely, I feel like imagining myself at the, like looking back, like that I was a little bit like head over heels at this point. You know, maybe I was going to hold hands with her, or maybe we were even going to kiss. And, I guess it's interesting that even as now as an adult, I think I have this default habit of striving for certainty. It's just interesting in looking back and seeing myself striving for some certainty there. I guess I feel very neutral about these memories. Like they might seem a little sad, but they're actually not. Because I can see myself like, geez, well, I had like low self-esteem or whatever you want to call it, or I just didn't feel attractive. I guess that's what it was. Then I have confidence. I don't know if it's low self-esteem. It's just no confidence and no sense of attraction, of attractiveness. And I think that's probably something a lot of people share. And I think I was looking to counteract those things, you know, attain certainty that those weren't true. You know, through, and luckily I had friends like Bo to kind of arrange those things. And then later, when the dance contest, my friend Chris K, he was the one who, you know, got me a date for the one dance we had at grammar school. And he arranged that one, I think, or maybe his date was the one who figured it out. So I had a lot of pressure on myself to save the relationship here at the Beaver Lake Nature Center. And this is still a habit I can get into, like where I get really in love with being in love. Maybe I don't know if that's the right term, or like the wooing stage and surprises and stuff. And so I think I was very heady, and I was like, oh, let me get something nice, you know, because I was thinking of her and I was out in nature. And I said, let me get this pencil sharpener. I think it was like a birdhouse, or it was one of those things where you press the bottom and the bird moves. Maybe it wasn't a pencil sharpener, but I'm pretty sure it was, because, you know, that would be utilitarian. And I know it was made out of wood and it was painted. And, I purchased it and I was full thing. And then when I gave it to her, of course, you could see this coming. She said, no, I don't want to, you know, I think she accepted I guess I have to scan the memory banks, but so I'd had the pencil thing. This was presumably like a weekend, a Saturday or Sunday. So then Monday I gave her the pencil sharpener. And she broke up with me, or maybe it was just I gave it to her. And I think this was one of those ones where it's like someone, the person at the desk in front of me told me, or someone told me at lunch. I mean, there was like our school wasn't 100% like a Mean Girls movie. Like I remember there was one girl, Julie Kay, and she was always, like trying to be helpful. And I think she was very good at, respecting people's feelings. And I think she's married to one of my brother's coworkers now. But so she would always go out of the way. So if my feelings were hurt, she was there as a friend to say, you know, it's not that big a deal or whatever, because that's probably crushed. I mean, like, and if it happened at lunch, you know, all the boys sat together, so that would have been embarrassing. But I was lucky that I always had friends. Like, I guess I feel like I wasn't always a friend to everyone. So, like, I'm like, man, how lucky am I that I had, like, friends to turn to? So even when people were making, if I cried, which I probably did, I mean, let's be honest, like, this was my first relationship, and I had, you know, put a lot of money into it and thought and probably, you know, a lot of imagination, and I had certainty riding on it. So when it came, you know, whatever, I can assume it was like someone said it to me. From this is how I reimagined, is that the person at the desk in front of me in grammar school said, Mikey Blank isn't going to be your girlfriend anymore. And I say, okay, well, and I just in denial, well, no, I don't believe you. You don't, you know. And then it probably happened at lunch, like the girls' lunch table told the boys' lunch table, and they became like a little bit embarrassing. Then I became upset, and then, like, someone soothed me. So I did have people to soothe me, you know, friends, or, so I was, again, very, very lucky. And I'm trying to rescue the story, because, I mean, but that is, like, the good thing. And then, I mean, then I, like, this might seem like a cheap way to do it, but the truth was that I still had this huge crush on this other person. So I was able to return to that fantasy, or maybe this is like a coping strategy. I don't know. And I guess I don't want to know, you know, I mean, I kid, but so like, what's my point? So it wasn't very long before I redirected my crush. I guess this will be interesting playing it out. Like, at this classmate. And while her and her sister were dating these two friends of mine and had no chance, you know, in my heart, you know, your heart always has a chance. And I do honestly think, I mean, I don't look at this from a mental health perspective, but from a coping with life perspective, like crushes are, I view them as, for personally, they're a very important thing to me. And I mean, like, so it's like part of the seasons of your life. Like, I mean, right now I'm between crushes and, but even in the real time recipe episodes, I talk about, geez, it's nice to have a crush on someone that works at the grocery store you go to. Cause it just makes it, you know, it's just a very, you're not going to really enter, like, it just makes it better to go to the grocery store. Like, where if it's someone that cuts your hair or something, they say, well, boy, that's like, that could go not, you know. Or school, I always had a lot of trouble at school. I mean, you know, that's like the genesis of this podcast, is a lot of it is the trouble I had at school. But crushes were, I guess, a coping mechanism. Like, honestly, I wouldn't have made it through. I don't think I would have showed up to high school, like my last 2 or 3 years of high school, if I didn't have a crush on someone to go, and I'm not kidding. My crushes made it, like, said, well, maybe I'll run into them at the hall or whatever, or this will be like that fantasy, constructed fantasy that just had, it was barely rooted in reality or a tangential reality, you know, but loosely associated with reality. Made it, well, I'll just go to school today. Otherwise, I probably, yeah, and even in, like, because then what happened was, like, ours was the first year, our sixth grade class was the first year there wasn't going to be any middle school, so they did, like, because the schools, I went to Catholic school, and the schools were shrinking, and the money was tight, so then they had, they were cutting back. And so then we went to like a larger middle school, and then I found new crushes there. Oh boy, there was another set of twins, believe it or not. And then I had a crush on those twins, and I guess this is a pattern I repeat, that then they were out of my league, even though I had a crush on them. And then at some point, I think I even asked, and either one of my female friends was like, no, no, no. Like, they were like, just honest with me. And then in seventh grade, I did have a crush on another classmate. And then even then I said, well, geez, maybe I just need a girlfriend. Like, all my friends were getting girlfriends again. And then it's a similar pattern. Like, I had a friend, and then I said, would you be my girlfriend? She said, no. No. We're just friends. But again, it's like that quest for, it's like certainty, and a certainty of good or certainty of bad. And like, I guess like the lesson kind of I take from that is, one, it's very nice to be able to go into these memories in a neutral place and to think about Kmart and the thrill of buying gifts and to look at things in this new appreciative light of seeing, Jesus, this friend of mine, you know, that I kind of terminated our friendship because of him telling his mom. He was a really good friend, and he was very brotherly to me, and I just like went in above and beyond. He arranged my first girlfriend. I don't know if you can call it a girl, like, for the story context, it's a girlfriend. I don't think a week and a half, even if you buy two gifts, qualifies. Like, I think you need to hold hands or kiss, like, as willing parties. I mean, so, but for the purpose of the story, it was a girlfriend. And, you know, looking at these other classmates that, you know, would step up and say, hey, geez, I see your feelings were hurt, you know. Let me try to help. You know, those are undersold or easily forgotten about when we don't get a chance to return to these. So that was a nice thing. And then just to say, geez, it's like, I guess it is interesting. I mean, right now I'm now looking back at it in a sad way, saying, I don't know how you say this. It doesn't sound a little bit obscene, but it's like, I was an unattractive young man. Like, and I think most of that was, projected mental a view than an actual fact or something. Like I think especially these prepubescent ages, I don't know what an expert would say, but this is way more of this social hierarchy playing out and kind of playing out the roles that maybe you have in your family, but also these roles, you know, that you're following whatever modeling you're doing and trying to establish a strange social hierarchy, and then also based on like physical attributes, you know, who's taller, who's like more mature. It's incredibly interesting, and it's tough being a kid. I guess that's another thing. I'd hug my daughter extra tight and be like, man. But you do make it through it, and I mean, as anything this podcast and life has taught me is that, you know, there's a lot of interesting things in our difficult times, and, you know, they're not all bad. And then so I guess, can they become lulling and soothing? I mean, I think if you make a trip to Kmart, you could pretty much, man, I guess that would be another thing to put on my time machine list is to hit up some Kmarts. I think most of them are closed now, but they're not the same as they were in the 80s anyway, and blue light specials and diners and all that stuff. In like Kmart branded stuff. I remember I was trying to think, I don't know what it was that I had. I was thinking of this the other day. I had some stuff that was Kmart branded that was really awesome. I don't know if it was like clothes or that I bought at a vintage place or something I'm remembering. So yeah, but so thank you for listening, and that's the story of my first girlfriend, Beaver Lake Nature Center, all based on a map of Syracuse. Thanks.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. That's cool. So, that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.